But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as they do not, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed with them. For this world pleases the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord both in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. Paul here is continuing in his thinking. From last week, remember, we talked about being content. Wherever you are, you'll stay there. You're fine. This is a response, I think, then to some questions about being single and being married. Paul gives counsel here to these people. Not from the Lord, he says. Right? He says, not from me, from the Lord, but because he's thinking, maybe the Lord didn't speak to this particular thing. But he's saying, I am qualified and I can give you some good advice here. While this passage is speaking about singleness and marriage, there's a much deeper underlying message here. Right? This applies to everybody here. Okay? Everybody in this room now is single or married. Right? So this is for everybody. And underneath this call in marriage or singleness, which one you want to do, there is this message then of devotion. The idea of devotion. What is it that you are devoted to? And we'll explore that today. He begins, like I mentioned, that he has no direct command from Jesus concerning this, singleness or marriage, but he offers advice or wisdom by God's mercy. That by God's mercy in his life, God's mercy in saving him and drawing him and giving him his Spirit, so he wants to speak to this. And he wants them to consider their situations very carefully. It mentioned there in the first part, it says, because of the present distress or the present crisis. Now, we're not exactly sure what's going on here, all right? One more prevailing notions here is that there's some historical evidence of a famine happening maybe during this time. Now, on a famine, it's a big deal, even in a big city like this. I mean, there's crops not being sowed and harvested, that could be a real pinch. You know, much like maybe inflation is on us today, right? There's a little pinch there. And he's saying that in view of this, you know, maybe we want to think about what we're doing here. Now, I also think, and I think the thrust of his passage here is also very eschatological, okay, forward thinking, looking to the end and the Lord's return and those kind of things. So keep that in the back of your mind as we're looking at this. And he gives us advice. Pretty straightforward. One, if you are married, don't seek to be not married. If you're single, don't be too anxious to get married. But, and here's the thing, he's not hard and fast. He says, but if you do marry, That's fine. It's good. And you know, it seems like he's dealing with these different perspectives that maybe people are saying, oh, marriage is bad, you know, and you should just get out of it. Or no, singleness is really good. You should just go for that. Or maybe, you know, singleness is terrible. And you really, really, really should seek to be married. And Paul's saying, hey, it's okay. It's all good. But I want to give you some advice here about these things. You know, in verse 28, he says something that's, you know, is a funny verse. He says, the married will face many problems in his life. And I was spared from that. I was in a church once. The pastor was preaching on this. And he came to that verse and he quoted it, you know. And some guy in there gave a big old, amen! I can't imagine what that ride home was like. Right? But he's saying, hey, you know, hey, and you know, anybody here that's been married more than 2 days understands. Yeah, you know, there's things here, you know. But and Paul wants to give us good advice here. Paul's not against marriage. And some people have maybe pointed this to maybe think that. He's not. He's emphasizing that our earthly relationships should be viewed, as with everything, towards God's higher purposes in this world. The lesson here today is contentment. Over and over, he's telling us, be content. Whether we're single or married, we shouldn't be restless, but trust God. Trust here that he has us exactly where we need to be right now. I think in Christian circles we get kind of caught up in this marriage singleness thing in some, you know, sometimes unhealthy ways. I went to Bible college for a couple of years in the, you know, mid 80s. Of course, the standing joke amongst almost every Bible college was, you know, it's like a bridal college, right? Go to bridal college, find yourself, you know, find a spouse, find a man, find a woman, and honestly, it's there, right? You step on the campus and already you feel like, whoa, there's something going on here, right? You know, yeah, wow, man, people are going for it here, and you gotta be careful. In fact, you know, when I was in Bible college, there was a guy my first year there. Had been there as a senior year and was frustrated by his lack of not having a spouse. And he was so frustrated by it. And this is so true. It's unbelievable. He vowed at the beginning of that school year, and everybody knew about it, he vowed that if he had not found a spouse by the end of that year, he was going to emasculate himself. Wow. Okay. Now, hopefully you can see there's all kinds of issues going on here, right? And okay, just so you know, he did find somebody by the end of that year, okay? I have to admit, there was that small little part of me that's going, what would have happened had it not gone the way he wanted to there? I was kind of curious, but it did work out for him. Good for him. But all we can see underlying that whole premise and what Paul is dealing with here is an issue of trust. This guy was not content, and he was not trusting that God had things in control, that God was with him, that God would take care of him. And his priorities, he's all messed up in I would say, a foolish vow. The call, again, is to be content and trust God, whatever your circumstances, wherever you are right now. And so that is the call, to be content. Those taking notes, that was point one. Then Paul shifts to a justification or an argument of why this is important. He focuses on verses 29 to 31. On living with an eternal perspective. His focus shifts to the shortness of time and the passing nature of this world. He says in verse 29, the time is short. Now, that can mean several things. One, I think we know that time flies. You know, Saturday was Josiah's birthday. He's 16. It's so weird. He's 16. You know, how did that happen? It seemed like he was just in diapers to me and John too and all of that. It's weird. You know, Emma is graduating college. James is going to be 21 here in a few days. And so we understand, the older we get, I think, how quick time is, how fleeting it is. It just goes like pouring water out of a vase. It's gone. Paul is telling us that. He's also, again, having an eternal perspective. That in light of eternity, our time here, be it 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, 9 years, 100 years, is a blip. A breath in the early morning that is a mist that dissipates and is gone. And so, in light of that, whatever time you do have, use it wisely. Be wise in how you use your time in whatever circumstances you are. And so he says, and it seems odd, right? Those who are married should live as they were not. Those who mourn as they did not. Those who rejoice as they did not. Those who buy stuff as if it's not really theirs. Now, I don't think he's not saying, if you're married, pretend like you're not. All right? Just, you know, and unfortunately we've seen examples in the Christian world. John Wesley was kind of known for how, in his zeal for ministry in God, ignored his family. You know, then there's other examples, missionary families who go over and they don't take into account their marriage and it falls apart, those kind of things. He's not saying that. All right? He's not saying ignore them. But he is saying that the things of this world are temporary. All of it is temporary. Our lives, the things we have, things we buy, the places we go, even our marriages are temporary things. And so we should just take into account in our lives and our marriages that reality. Believers should not live as if their ultimate joy and satisfaction are derived from their marital relationship, on whether or not you're happy or sad in your circumstances, or in the stuff that you buy or have. Don't be engrossed in them. Don't be focused on these things. The world in its present form is passing away. So Paul's not saying neglect relationships. Don't neglect your responsibilities, but rather to hold everything loosely in light of eternity. We should not be so consumed with earthly matters that we lose sight of what truly lasts, the kingdom of God. He's saying, don't derive your meaning and purpose from temporary things. And we see that. It's so easy to do in our daily lives. We can be, you know, again, completely focused on a marriage, and that's just all consuming. That's all we think about. That's all we're doing. Or our jobs, or our schooling, or our entertainment, or pursuit of stuff. And it's not that we take no joy from these things. We do. They're wonderful things. Marriage, the blessings God's given us, food, shelter, all this stuff. Tuesday, I went with Buck to Governor Dodge Park. We did a bit of a hike. And it was beautiful. It was a couple hours walking and seeing some deer and geese flying overhead, and there was sandhill cranes, and I just was able to just kind of, oh, this is what a blessing from God. And yet even that is fleeting. It will be gone. The consideration here is your heart. Where is your heart in these things? Where is your heart in how you spend your time, your energy, your money, your thinking? Are they oriented around simply that as an end of itself? Or in all those things, do we have a kingdom perspective, an eternal perspective on all of this? Each one of you are in a completely unique place. Nobody else in all the world is you. Nobody else in all the world is in the exact place where you are, in the exact time where you are, in the exact circumstances that you are, in the exact place to influence or be around people or wherever it is. Every one of us are completely unique in this. And God has a purpose for that right here, right now. Every moment, He has you there, and we can trust Him. What is the focus of your devotion, of what you view as important in this life. And so we should have an eternal perspective on these things. Paul then continues to point three, the advantage of an undivided devotion. Okay, so Paul then continues on with his speaking of marriage as singleness and wants to kind of just give some advice here. Now, Paul here highlights that singleness, and it seems like he kind of prefers that, again, not saying marriage is bad or anything like that, but that singleness allows for undivided devotion to the Lord. And he lays it out, and I think it's pretty obvious to any of us here who's married, this is true. A married person naturally must be concerned with their spouse and their family. A husband for the care and love of his family. The wife for love and care for family and husband. This is true. And it's good. Okay, it is good. Don't take away that it's not. But we also, I think, can understand that a single person has much more freedom in their lives to, well, do anything, and particularly here, to serve the Lord. It's just how it is. You know, and I think, again, I'll make a little example here. Do not take away that I am in any way unsatisfied in my life, okay? But I imagine, I just did a little thought experiment myself. What would it be like in my life, my ministry, if I was not married? If I was here at Trinity Evangelical Free Church as a single man, I just think, boy, the time that could be freed up for things. You know, if I wasn't paying car insurance on four cars, you know, if I wasn't having to run around to all the things that I go to, football games, music festivals, concerts, you know, if I wasn't so concerned about, you know, the money I had to make to pay the bills for all these things. You know, I mean, boy, it'd be just a very, in some ways, freeing thing, okay? Now, I wouldn't trade my life for anything, okay? This is where I am, and I'm glad. But we can, in just thinking through it, think how some of those things make sense. Now, on the other hand, my ministry is greatly enriched by my family, my wife, and my children. Okay, there's things in that context of ministry that I would not be able to do as a single person. Okay, so they're both good. They're both good. But Paul wants each of us, and for those of you who are single here today, to consider, seriously consider, God's call in your life and how you can best devote yourselves to Him in His work in everything you do. You know, again, in Christian circles, this marriage and singleness can get kind of twisted around, right? You know, I think that, generally speaking, at least in my time in life, it seems that in most Christian circles, marriage is the preferred status, right? And we do this. We do this with our children. We do this all around us. So, got anybody in your life? You know, you get married soon, you know, or, you know, we see somebody that's not married and go, oh, look at that poor person. Oh, they just must be lonely. Oh, God would always bring someone in their life. I'm sure that's what they desire. Or as parents, right? Where are my grandchildren? Right? We want that desire. You know, I confess, I'm there. You know, we have a lower status sometimes with single people in the church, as if they don't have as much to contribute, as if the married person has more. And frankly, folks, we need to stop that. We need to stop making these divisions amongst ourselves, even the married and single, and realize the opportunity and value of marriages and the single people. But here again, it's a check of the heart. For us, why am I choosing singleness? Why am I choosing marriage? If someone would say to me, I want to be single because then I can make a lot of money. I can travel. I can buy the boat. I can get the house. I can have the lake cabin. If that is your desire, say, man, dude, you need to get married. All right? You need to learn a good, unselfish lesson here. Or if I'm going to be married because I want to have sex. You know, I'm lonely all the time. I have these needs. If I have two incomes, maybe I can buy more stuff. Again, check your heart. These are selfish things. But if in these things, say, boy, if I was single, things I could do for the Lord, the money I could put towards the kingdom of God, the time I could spend towards God's kingdom, if that is what you're thinking and that is what you desire, if you desire more than anything in your life, I want to serve the Lord. God, how best can I do that? Singleness is not a bad option at all. It's our desire to single-mindedly serve the Lord wherever we are. We can do that as single. We can do that as marriage. Is our marriages, are we together and do we talk about, do we consider, how can this marriage best serve the Lord? How can we in our marriage, in our family, spend our time, our money, our resources towards God's kingdom? And Paul is just saying, hey, just so you know, I mean, marriage is tough. He recognized that. And maybe, we should consider whether or not God wants you to go there. It doesn't mean that marriage is a distraction of itself or less spiritual. It just means that singleness gives a unique opportunity to unhindered service. And the key takeaway here, I think, is that whatever our status, married or single, our primary goal, and the whole message, this is it. Our primary goal and desire should be please the Lord. Please the Lord in my marriage. Please the Lord in my singleness. Expand the kingdom of God in my marriage. Expand the kingdom of God in my singleness. And he says, go there. But for every single person, consider singleness. Maybe it hasn't even crossed your mind. You know, from a religious thing, the plan is I'm going to go to high school, I'll go to college, I'll get married, I'll have kids. That's just the normal American dream thing. And I would say, hey, just take a moment and think about what God would have you to do. And then lastly, Paul here reminds us, he's not making hard, fast rules here. He's saying that we are free. We have freedom in choosing marriage or singleness. In the last few verses there, 36 to 40. He assures the Corinthians in their situation, whatever's going on, that both singleness and marriage are honorable choices. They're good. They are good. And in the last verses, he seems to be kind of talking about, must have been an issue maybe of people who are engaged. They're engaged, being married, and then, you know, kind of what they should do. And he's saying, hey, if you're engaged, not married yet, and you know, you feel like, man, I can't control myself. Get married. For goodness sakes, get married. All right? Let's not have this 5-year engagement thing. I mean, if that's what you're going to do, do it. Go for it. It's good. But if in that engagement even, you start thinking, man, you know, I really feel a pull to serve God. I'm thinking maybe I might want to go down this other path. He's saying that's okay too. That'd be kind of rough to figure that out. But it's good. It's okay. If you choose to remain single, you do well. It's good. And with widows, he says the same thing. I mean, if you're a widow, he says, yeah, go get married again. It's fine. Go to find a believer. But he's saying, in my opinion, I think you're better off where you are, but don't worry about it. Don't get yourself bound up by these things. Paul concludes here by affirming that singleness is good and sometimes maybe even a preferable choice for some, but ultimately, the decision is personal and should be made in light of your calling and your devotion to God and His kingdom. And that's what it comes down to. Is that your concern in the things you're doing? And that's the concern for all of us, even right now today. In your marriages, in your school, in all the things you're doing, is that devotion to God part of all of that? In all that you consider, be it the classes you take, the major you're taking, in your marriage, the things you do together as a couple, what you're concerned about, what you put your money towards, all that, is that devotion to God the key part of making those decisions in what we're doing? The conclusion is God is seeking wholehearted devotion wherever we are. It's not just about singleness or marriage. It's about living for God wherever we are right now. Paul urges us, one, be content. Be content. Wherever you are, you know, yeah, maybe you desire to be married. Maybe you desire a particular job. Whatever it is, that's fine. But where you are right now, be content in it. Don't get all worried about it. Don't despair if you haven't found that spouse you're looking for. Don't despair if you haven't found the exact job you're looking for. Don't despair if your marriage path hasn't gone exactly the way you thought it would go. It's okay. God is with you right now. And He wants you to just think about where that devotion goes right now. He encourages us to live with an eternal perspective. That understanding this life is fleeting. Our jobs, our school, even our marriages are puffs in the wind. This world is temporary. Live for things that are eternal. Bank on the eternal things and not of this world. Thirdly, seek undivided devotion to the Lord in your marriages and in your singleness. Understanding that singleness might give you a unique opportunity to serve the Lord with undivided devotion. And he concludes that make these choices in freedom. You don't have to feel guilty about getting married. You don't have to feel guilty about being single. You know, and like I said, I mean, sometimes we kind of put that upon people. It's all good. And it's all for God's glory. So, whether single, married, divorced, widowed, whatever it may be, the ultimate question is this. Is your heart fully devoted to God in those things? Is your heart devoted to God? Our relationships, possessions, emotions, all of it is temporary. It's here, it's gone. But our relationship with Christ is eternal. Eternal. Again, it's hard to even get our minds around that. And so, again, eternity, we're not going to spend it with our stuff. We're not going to spend it with our jobs. We're not even going to spend it time with our spouses. And if we can't be content and happy and desiring Jesus Himself, He's the goal. He's the prize to the end. You know, I've always had a problem, with our evangelism. I know I talked about this all the time before. You know, that model of evangelism that states, you know, that says, you know, accept Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, and you can go to heaven. Okay, that's good. I guess you kind of internal respect there in some ways. But we're using Jesus as the means to an end. Jesus is the how I get to heaven. And that's upside down. Jesus is the goal. Come to believe in Jesus because of Jesus. Because that is your eternal destiny. It's Him. And if our hearts aren't there, here and now, that's what Paul's trying to get us to. Devoted to Jesus. He's your joy. He's your satisfaction. And think about it, that's Paul say, be content. Because we always have Jesus. If I'm poor or rich or sick or whatever it is, single, married, happy marriage, not happy marriage, Happy singleness, not happy singleness. If Jesus is the center, that is a steady thing. It's a rock that we can rely on. And that would allow us then to live with undivided devotion, seeking first the kingdom of God and God's glory in all that we do. That's it, right? Seek Christ, make him center, be content, because God is with you right here, right now, and you're right where you're supposed to be. And that's okay, and it's all good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you. Help us, oh God, to turn our eyes up, to not be so concerned with the cares, concerns of this temporary, fleeting world. Help us, Lord, glorify you in our marriages and in our singleness, and to value and understand the worth of both. Help us be content wherever we are right now. Help us, Lord, to seek you. And if we're suffering, if there's issues, if there's problems, concerns, to trust you, to seek your mercy, to seek your grace. And may your kingdom, your body, your people here seek to expand and give relief and help those who are in need. And may we do it all for your glory, Lord. Help us to have an undivided heart in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.